the word of the Lord, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And it says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the move of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath." Lord, bless your word, for it is divine truth. I often find myself doing some introspection of every aspect of my life in preparation for my future. There were some things that went well for me, and then there were some things that just didn't work out the way I thought it should work out. Just like me, I'm sure there are some of you who are here who is like this man at the pool of Bethesda. At some point, you've been overlooked, you've been crowded out, you've been passed over, you've been outran, you've been pushed out. You've been like this man, you've been looking at it, you've been dreaming about it, you've been talking about it, and you may even been singing about it. Can you imagine? This man staring at the water, watching the slightest ripple, saying to himself, "Don't miss it this time." For hours and days and weeks and months and years, he watches the water. Then for a minute, he dozes off. Or something caught his attention and he misses it. Then shouts ring out as a once lame man cries out, "I can walk, I can walk." His heart drops and he realizes it. "I missed it again. Somebody got ahead of me again." I'm talking to someone today who has watched other people get blessed. You've watched other people get healed. You've watched other people get promoted. You've watched other people get their new car. You watched other people get their new home. And it looks like to you, from all natural evidence, that it will never be you. But the Lord is saying this morning, it's coming. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The Lord wants you to take the limits off. Don't restrict God to past methods or past experiences or past manifestations. He says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. With that thought in mind, I'm going to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, It's My Turn Now. It's my turn now. I seen some smiles come over some faces here. Hallelujah. The account of the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda is one of the most interesting accounts of the miracles of Jesus, in large partly because the setting in where it takes place. It takes place in a remarkable place, a place that has religious law attached to it. The pool of Bethesda was believed to be a place the sick and ill body could come and be healed. It was believed that every now and then an angel would come down and stir up the water. And the first person to get in the pool had a chance to be healed. Now, the stirring of the water was due to a subterranean stream that would infuse the water within the pool and would cause the water to stir. But it was believed that within the stirring, the angel of the Lord was there, and that if you could get into the water first, you could get your healing. It was not a matter of everybody getting in and getting healed, but the first person who got into the water could receive his or her blessings. So here we have a man who has been sick for 38 years. That's a long time. We are not told how long he stayed by the poolside, but we do know that he's been sick for 38 years. Verse 6 reads, when Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been ill, he asked him, would you like to get well? Now, Jesus, he does not immediately seek healing into the man's life, even though we know that he could do it. Upon seeing the man, Jesus could have spoken healing to this man right away, because there have been instances when, upon seeing the issue, Jesus just spoke and healing came. But this time, Jesus asked a question. He questions the man based upon what he knows about the man. He knows that the man has been sick 38 years, and based upon that fact alone, he asked the man, would you like to get well? The man gives Jesus a particular answer. He says, he gave Jesus a peculiar answer. He says, I can't, for I have no one to help me into the water when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, there's always somebody getting in ahead of me. Now, Jesus asked the man, do you want to get well? And the man answered Jesus by telling him what he can't do and what he does not have. Jesus didn't ask him what he had and what he could do, what he couldn't do. Jesus asked the man, do you want to get well? And he responds by talking about what he can't do and what he does not have. Excuses, excuses, excuses. That's exactly how many of us miss our blessing. You have to change the way you think. For the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, for years the sick, the afflicted, the feeble would come to this pool and wait for a move of the water. But on this particular day, God chooses to move in a new way. Jesus stood in front of this man. Jesus, the Word. Jesus, who is health. Jesus, who is healing. Jesus, who is blessing. Jesus, who is prosperity.
Woo-hoo.
Hey, Jesus, who is the full manifestation of everything this man ever dreamed of, is standing right in front of this man. Yet the impotent man's mind is still on the pool. He could believe for his miracle, but he couldn't see beyond the past glory. God blessed me this way, so I'm expecting God to come and bless me that same way. You remember the story? There was a story about someone was in the middle of the ocean and they wanted, there was like a flood or something, and they wanted to be rescued. And they said, God, I need you to help me. Come and rescue me. And God sent a helicopter to get the person that was stranded. And it was like, no, God is going to rescue me. Then God sent a boat. And the person is like, no, God is going to come rescue me. The person eventually died because God didn't come the way they thought God should come. You have to remember, God is bigger than his past manifestation. So you have to be open to receive the blessings of the Lord in different ways, in different experiences. God is bigger than your past glory. Yes, God's spirit was in the pool, but the pool was not God. God is bigger than the last method. For one blind man, if we look at the Bible, he touched his eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. But then there was another blind man that Jesus spit in the dirt and then made mud and rubbed it on the man's eyes. This man, the man at the pool of Bethesda, almost missed his miracle because his faith was attached to the pool. He was expecting his miracle to come in the water. He almost missed his miracle because it didn't come in the way he expected it. When you need a miracle from God, you have to give God the latitude to use whatever means he desires to get to you. If you are not careful, you can miss the glory, you can miss the blessing, you can miss the miracle that you are looking for simply because it doesn't come in the package you expected. Remember, God can use a dirty bird to bless you. God used a raven to feed his prophet Elijah. For some of you, if God was to send your blessing by Raven Express, you would probably shoot the raven before the blessing even got to you. Many times, it's not the devil, it's not the enemy that keeps us from receiving our miracles. It's our narrow-minded religious attitudes that try to tell God how to do God's business.
Amen.
Bless me, God, and here's how I want it, and this is when I want it. This man almost missed the person with his blessing because he was so attached to the pool. His deliverance had come, but it didn't come the way he expected it, and he almost to the experiences of the past that he thought the only way he could get his miracle was to get in the crowd, to push and kick and crawl and fight and work his way into the pool. That's just too much for me. He could not fathom that it'd be just as simple as just receiving. It's that simple. Just receive. Your miracle and your blessing is here, and it's not in the pool. It's in the person. It's not in your works. It's in your faith. Yes, faith has works, because the Bible says faith without works is dead. But you can wear yourself out trying to work your way into a blessing. You can wear yourself out trying to work your way into a miracle. You can wear yourself out trying to make things happen, trying to make people recognize you, trying to open doors for yourself, trying to get a platform for your gift, trying to convince God that you deserve a blessing, that you deserve that promotion. Yes, faith has works, but faith culminates not in trying, but in trusting. Not in wrestling, but in nestling. Somebody needs to quit wrestling with God and start nestling with God. So I want to encourage somebody today who is on the verge of quitting, not turning your back on God per se, but shutting down, turning off the switch of your faith. You've questioned if it's even worth it. Somebody's dream is on life support, and you're about to pull the plug. You've been in the fight of your life, and you just don't feel like you've got any fight left. To you, whomever I'm speaking to today, hold on. Faith never quits. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. The difference between success and failure is just getting up one more time than you fail. Faith never quits. Your money may run out, your feelings may run out, your friends may run out, but your faith will carry you through. Never give up, never quit, never say die. You never know when your deliverance is coming. You never know when the manifestation will come. You never know when the door will fly open, or when the power of God will show up on your behalf and turn the situation around. Amen. There's a song that we sing, that we often sing, that says, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's going to work in your favor. So that's what I say today. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's going to work in your favor. Don't give up. One of the main ingredients of this man's miracle was his persistence. Even though he had missed his miracle time and time again, he had watched other people get in the water ahead of him, but he kept coming. He had gumption. It's kind of an old-fashioned way of saying he had grit. He had guts. He had backbone. Gumption is a good thing to have. It will get you up and get you moving. It's the kind of thing that is pity party parties. Woe is me. Gumption made him keep coming. It made him press through his pain. It made him press through his disappointment. It made him press through his discouragement. Everybody needs gumption, but gumption alone is not enough. It's one thing to have gumption. It's another thing to have unction. Unction is another word for the anointing. Acts 1:8 says, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power, unction, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So when gumption and unction comes together, you've got some power to function. Hallelujah. See, the moral of this parable, he had been in this situation for a long time, but he never, ever gave up. He woke up this particular morning and everything was the same. He went through the same routine every day. But what he didn't know that this was his day for his miracle. So I want you to just turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell your neighbor, it's closer than you think. It's closer than you think. Now, was this man just a random choice? Or was there a principle at work here? Did it just so happen that Jesus was in that place? And did it just so happen that out of all the people there was, that Jesus came only and specifically to him? No. Jesus came to him because, according to this man's own word, he kept coming. He may have been outrun. He may have been ran over. He may have been crowded out. But his persistence kept him coming. And his persistence got God's attention. He kept coming. He kept coming through his pain, through discouragement. Let me make it a little plainer for you. He kept coming through his divorce. He kept coming through his bankruptcy. He kept coming through the betrayal of his family. He kept coming through betrayal of his friends. He kept coming through rejection. He kept coming. I'm wounded, but I'm coming. I'm hurting, but I'm coming. I'm confused, but I'm coming. I'm battling depression, but I'm coming. I'm dragging my leg, but I'm coming. I may even have to crawl, but I'm coming. To be honest, sometimes I don't even feel like coming. It's a challenge to just get up and get moving. But I know that if I don't keep moving, I'll die. So when I made up in my mind, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die moving in the direction of my miracle. Hallelujah. I'm going to die like the little woman with the issue of blood, with my hand stretched out for the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. You just got to keep moving. Don't give up. Don't be still. Keep moving. Movement is a sign that you're still alive. If you can't move your leg, move your arm. If you can't move your arm, move your head. If you can't move your head, hallelujah, wiggle your toes. If you can't wiggle your toes, stick out your tongue. Just do something to let the devil know that you are still here, you are alive, and you are still moving. Hallelujah. I'm next. It's my turn now. Hallelujah. As I close, I just want to tell you that God is a God that he doesn't always do things the same way. God can change the procedure anytime God wants. That's why it's so important that we ask God for direction. We ask God, how should we move? Because he may not want you to move the way you used to move. He may want you to move in a different way, right? So all of these people were gathered around the pool waiting for their turn. They followed the pool method. They were waiting for the movement of the water. But Jesus completely bypassed the pool procedure. Ain't that just like Jesus, huh? Bypassed the pool procedure and comes directly to the man. Jesus didn't walk through the crowd. Jesus wasn't checking numbers to see what order they were in. He didn't go to see who was in line next. You see, somebody is getting ready to go to the front of the line. Somebody is getting ready to experience some divine favor. Favor can open doors. Favor will elevate you. And I'm just waiting for someone to come to me and say, Pastor, I got the favor. I was moved to the front of the line because I kept coming and I believed and the Lord took me. So Jesus said, rise to the man, take up thy bed, and immediately, without hesitation or delay, this man was made whole. Is there anybody who wants some immediate, who has some immediate faith? Some right now faith? Not when I get to heaven faith. Not one of these days faith. Not 6 months from now faith. Or 2 weeks from now faith. Right now faith. Because the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Like this man, like Paul and Silas, like Joseph in prison, like Daniel in the lion's den, like the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, you may be in a midnight hour. It may be the darkest hour of your life. But what I really like about midnight, it is no matter how bad it is, how dark it is gone in 60 seconds. Am I right?
Amen.
Midnight is gone in 60 seconds. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Somebody said, well, when is it going to be my turn? The line is so long. I'm so far back. I don't know if I'll ever even reach the place of my blessing. I don't know if I'll ever reach the place of my promotion. I don't know if I'll ever reach the place of my miracles. But I want to tell you today, God is getting ready to flip the script. God is getting ready to turn things around. Hallelujah. Somewhere I remember reading a scripture that says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season. I also remember, do you remember? The first shall be last and the last shall be first. It's in the word. It's in the word. And there's something about God that when it's your turn, it doesn't matter where you're standing in line. It doesn't matter where you are at educational wise. It doesn't matter where you are at socially. It doesn't matter where you're at economically. It doesn't matter or not if you're the prettiest one or the most handsome one. It doesn't matter if you're the most qualified one from man's perspective. It doesn't matter if you were voted most likely to succeed. It doesn't matter if you're not the biggest one or the strongest one. In fact, God gets pleasure out of taking the little things and using them in big ways. When it's your season, you move to the front of the line. So I just want to leave this with you. It's now your turn to shine. It's your time to prosper. It's your time to be healed. It's your turn now for doors to open. It's your turn now for a fresh and increased anointing. That's the word for today. It's my turn now. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word. God, I pray that you have touched someone's heart, that you have ministered to them, letting them know that it's their turn, that you've seen their heartache, that you've seen their tears, you've seen the struggle. But you brought the word to heal and encourage. That is their time now. So God, I pray that you show up and show out in their life and bring back the testimonies to the church so everyone can see that it is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen.